Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, a show designed to share spiritual insights with you so that you can comprehend the universe and how it functions. You are about to experience raised consciousness. This is a place where spiritual principles are shared with the goal of assisting you to expand your understanding of both the seen and unseen worlds. Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality helps you to discern the timeless truths handed down from wise sages through the ages from the airy-fairy nonsense that is being taught today. Now, here is your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth.
Welcome to Luminescence Common Sense Spirituality, the radio show that disseminates esoteric knowledge and common sense spirituality. I'm Sharon Lynn Wyeth, creator of Namology Science, the ability to know all about a person's personality and the soul's purpose simply from a person's name. Now, the beautiful music you just heard is called Shine by Dee L'Amour. And we always end our show with her music. That is the music Shine. And you can hear more of her music at her website, dlemor.com, and that's dlemor.com. Our topic today is discernment. What we consider bad may actually be good. How do we know if we can be fooled? Could rejection be God's way of protection? Do expectations help or hinder us? How to deal with rejections and disappointments and overcome loss, lack of success, etc.? How do we pick ourselves back up when what we thought we wanted doesn't manifest? What's the overall lesson that we're experiencing? Is there always a silver lining to every experience? How to make the best of each experience? And right now, in everything in our world seems to be upside down. I really want to add to this, how do we tell evil from good and good from evil? And our special guest today is Susan Rowland. Now, Susan Rowland is a native Chicagoan, raised on Chicago's northwest side as a child. She did not have a conventional childhood. From the age of 6, Spirit singled her out and set in motion her journey to provide healing, clarity, and guidance. Blessed with the gifts of seeing the past, present, and future, Susan has been in constant contact with spirits, voices, and visions in order to help others make sense of their lives. In her early life, Susan chose to use her unique gifts selectively to help those close to her as well as local officials and businesses in need of direction. However, she soon became aware that she possessed rare and valuable gifts which should be used for the greater good. Not only has she used her unique abilities to provide spiritual guidance and healing to people of every age and every walk of life throughout the world, but on a personal level, her gifts also enable her to defeat her own daughter's autism. As a professional psychic medium, Susan uses her abilities to help clients gain deep insights into their life journeys and gain spiritual growth, shining light on relationships, love, career, business, and family. And I will simply add before I welcome Susan to the show is that when you have an appointment with Susan, you've gone to the top of the ladder. You cannot get better than what she's able to do. All right, Susan, welcome back to Luminescence. Always wonderful to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I love being here. I love sharing things with you. You know how much I love you. And I just love everything that, you know, you facilitate. And we're lucky to have somebody like you bring so much attention to the things we should be paying attention to. So I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you. And like attracts like, just like the same ones that are attracted to listen to this show. You guys, you can add yourselves right in there with us. Okay, we're going to deep dive today because our topic is discernment, and It seems to me that that is really missing these days. Now, I can see it in when certain letters are missing in a name. I think, oh, my gosh, God bless that person. They have no discernment, okay, or they got to rely on others for their discernment. So let's talk about how do we tell good from bad, evil from non-evil? How do we tell? How do we develop discernment?
Well, you know, I look at it as there's three courses of topics. It's awareness, and you have to be aware of your surroundings. Pay attention to the people you are listening to and what they're saying. The understanding of what they're trying to convey. And third, by the action that they're displaying. So when I look at those three things, evil comes in many disguises. evil comes that, you know, people think, you know, oh, she's my friend or he's my friend, and then they're talking about you or they're doing this about you. And, you know, I here's my thing. I know a lot of things that people have said about me, and if it's somebody who, say, is a friend, I won't even talk to that person about, hey, you said this, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to deny it. They're not going to, you know, I'm kind of skipping to that. Now I just know what I have to do, okay? So sometimes when you see a person's action to how they are to you, it's actually maybe a gift to get you more aware of what you need to do and what you need to walk away with what you see. Sometimes it isn't about, you know, challenging them and telling them, because I found out that people that are going to lie, they're going to lie no matter what. You know, you could see somebody doing something in front of you and they'll say, I didn't do that. So sometimes I just think you have to pick your battles, but you always should be aware of the action that surrounds you. This is a good way to start practicing that, because so many people in this day and age, they're not doing the work. They're letting the computer do it. They're letting the journalist do it. They're doing all their thinking for you. And you need to just say, no, I need to do the work for me and see what I get out of it. People are walking away from not doing that work.
See, and that's something, too, that when I'm giving a reading, sometimes I think somebody will go, well, I'll need to work on that. And I think, play with it, have fun with it, give it a time and attention. But if you call it work, a lot of people don't want to do it anymore. So call it something else and still get it done.
That's true. And that's a great point that you raise. Call it something else. I like that, because maybe that's a different way that they can approach it with love. Because I think the word work scares people, and people don't want to do it. So, you know, I look at work, I like work. I embrace work. Because to me, what do I associate work with? Growth. When you stop working at anything you do stop growing. I hope you know that. So I look at, it's what you associate something that maybe you don't have a good feeling about, associate it with something positive. And that's how I associate work with. It's growth.
See, and I look at work as actual joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we all ought to be doing our joy jobs, as I call them. Because if you don't enjoy what you're doing, you need to swap to something that you do enjoy. If not, the day is really long.
It's true, because if you stop doing your passion, you're stunting your growth. Again, you're not growing. So I the joy definitely is there, but so is the growing. And that's, I always say, the day that we stop working in some matter, shape, or form, it's over. And, you know, why are you even here taking up the oxygen? Do something. There's always something you can do. There's always something you can give back. There's always something you can teach somebody. You know, there's so much that you can be doing. But just sitting there and saying, oh, I've got nothing to do, more of the same today. Oh, my God, I just shake my head sometimes, because no matter what you try to tell some people, they just don't want to see that. They don't want to get it.
Well, you know, it was interesting, at my 50th year class reunion, which was last summer, one of the guys that I dated in high school took me out for dinner, all right? And he was talking almost the whole time, and I just started asking questions and listening. And at the end of the conversation, I thought, everything he's done in the last 50 years has been for him, and yet he's not contributing to society in any way, shape, or form. And I just thought, how can you get to this age? We all have to take care of us and our families and our work and our whatnot. We all need to take care of that. But there's a time for everything. And I thought, how can you be out of school 50 years and have not figured out it's your turn to give back?
That's a great point. But you know what, Sharon, I see people like that every day. And this is why they're lost. This is why they're depressed. Because they're not making an effort to do some kind of work to grow joy, to feel good about things, to step outside their comfort zone. And you could still be comfortable in trying out something. But I think it's the frame of mind that people have. They're, something different is not going to be good. Change is bad, and that has to change up. So the way you look at things, so when I say going back to your awareness, the understanding, and the action, pay attention to all three of those because that has a lot to do with your next step. But if you keep shutting things down, you are closing so many wonderful, big, beautiful doors that can really give you so much love, and you'll thrive with that. You never thrive when you are doing nothing. Everybody has to feel like they're contributing something somewhere, somehow. You know? Even when people are caregivers, and, you know, I have this one lady, she watches somebody every day, and she says, "Susan, I know I'm very small, and what I do is nothing compared to other people, but I feel so important that I'm able to care for this man when I come every day." I said, "Don't ever say it's very small, because what you do for him is very large, and I think he knows that. And so you are a light in his world, because he probably waits for you. His whole world revolves around you. How can that be small?" So
exactly. And I think the beauty of just being able to provide somebody a laugh or a smile for the day, it's like, even when I go to the post office, my goal is that whatever window I go up to, and I know them all by name because I'm mailing out so many books all the time. You know, I mean, almost daily, it's like,
hello. I can picture you doing that, too, because they just know who you are.
They do.
I love they that. Because every time I see you, Sharon, you have the biggest smile. You're always happy, and it's so genuine. I love that. You make people, you're very infectious. Because, seriously, you know, for the people that are listening, when you see Sharon in person, it's amazing the light that she radiates, because you make people feel better and want to do, and you do make people happy. So I thank you every day.
Well, thank you, Susan. But it's my goal. It's like, which one am I getting today, and what do I get to notice or ask or say that's going to cause them to laugh or smile? And the week before Thanksgiving, I went in with a candy bar every day. And so it was like, whoever I get's getting a candy bar today.
Oh, that is so sweet. And I bet they appreciated that. I tell you, there's nothing like a good sugar fix.
I love that.
Good for you. I think that's really nice. I do. That's a very thoughtful, sincere thing. And it's something small, but I think that's huge.
Well, see, it is. It's very small. But one of the ladies said, "I noticed you passed out all these Toblerone bars to everybody as you were coming up, and she was wondering when I was going to get to her window if I would still have any left." And I said, "I do. Guess what? I do."
You see? Oh, I love that. You see? You just made her day. And that's what I'm talking about, the little things. You know, I love the holidays very, very much. I will never stop loving the holidays because of what they represent. And, yesterday I had to get a crown put on my tooth, and the girl, the technician, she says, "Susan, I know you love Christmas because you're singing with the Christmas songs." And I said, "I do." She goes, "Me too." And she says, "You know, even for a brief moment, everybody's a little nicer this time of year. That's why I love Christmas." And I said, "Honestly, I get very sad on December 26th. Because it's over, and I don't want it to be over, because it's true what she said. People are a little nicer. If people could put more forth the effort all the time, your mood as an individual will change, and it will feel better. We're concentrating on the wrong things. We're concentrating on all the bad things in this world, and we need to set a balance on that, and this is what I tell people. It's one thing to be informative, but it's another to let go, because these things are truly not serving us.
You know, they're really not. And isn't it where our thoughts go, then we're attracting that and giving that more energy?
Yes, very much so, 100%. And that needs to stop, because seriously, it's getting so out of hand that people are very sad, they're very despondent, they're very scared, they're very, you know, they have fear. And this is not the way you're supposed to feel. You need to take your life back.
by the way, when you said on December 26th, I want to say the best days for parties and group gatherings and picnics and you name it are the 26th to the 30th of December.
Because I believe it's like that. Yeah, because it's still that week. Yeah, you're right. Because it's that week. It's before New Year's. It's still considered the holidays. But I don't want it to ever end. I really don't. I enjoy it so much. I do. If I had a big enough house, I would keep my tree up and put a big plastic over it. I wouldn't even disassemble it.
Well, I have friends that do that, but they don't put a plastic over it. They just simply enjoy it the entire year.
Oh, and I love that. That's wonderful.
One of my friends, her last name is Katz, K-A-T-Z. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 1 year for Christmas. And this is for everybody. If your first vowel is a Y, they like handmade things. They like things that are very unique. So I made three cats or kittens for her Christmas tree that's up all year. And I did it like, see no evil, hear no evil, you know, speak no evil, right? So one of the cats had the gloves on over the mouth and one had it over the ears and whatever. And so she told me that somebody accidentally spilt coffee on one of my kittens. You know, like after she had it for like 4 or 5 years up there. She goes, somebody accidentally spilt coffee on one of them. And she didn't want to disappoint me. So she literally found somebody and paid them to make it and replace that.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. That speaks volumes of how much she treasures what you did. Wow.
Well, it's the little things. But we want to come back to discernment because it's so important. Right after this 2-minute break, stay tuned.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
When you need to know. Meet Susan Rowland. She is a gifted psychic medium, intuitive, and heart-centered healer who has given countless psychic and medium readings to clients all over the globe. Clients describe Susan as being warm-hearted, highly accurate, intuitive, inspiring, non-judgmental, and the real deal when delivering her readings to clients. As a professional psychic medium, Susan uses her abilities to help clients gain deep insights into their life journey and gain spiritual growth, shining light on relationships, love, career, business, and family. A gifted spiritual healer, she is ready and uniquely qualified to help you transform your life. You may schedule an appointment with Susan via her website, susanrowland.com.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense Spirituality. You're with Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Susan Rowland. Susan, I want to go back to, can rejection be God's way of actually protecting us? I know that none of us like to hear no, and it's almost like he's Santa Claus in the sky, or that's how some people may look at him. But is rejection a way of actual protection?
Yes, it's actually my very, very famous quote that I always use. I love it because I live my life by it. Yeah, you know, many times, you know, we want that certain job or we wanted that love of our life, you know, and we didn't get either one. Does that mean that we're being punished? God's not hearing our prayers? Absolutely. You know, and I look at it as, at the time, we never realize, and we're very upset, and we're heartbroken. But then, time goes by, and then you start, the universe will send us different signs about things, or about that person that we were so in love with, and we wanted to be married to that person, or whatever. And we start hearing things and seeing things, and all of a sudden you say, oh my God, I am really glad that I never got involved with him or I didn't have this job because this job, look what it did to, you know, so-and-so. You know, so you don't realize it, but later. So whenever I didn't get something I wanted, and believe me, there was plenty of things. and there was. I don't get everything I want, but I looked at, and yes, you can be sad, but then I would make a reason with it. I'd have to reason with it. This is the way I was from a child. I would always wonder, okay, if I didn't get it, there must be a reason. And I would just go on with my life. And then later, it would all evolve. So, yes, God does have our backs. Universe has our backs in every way. We are not going to always see it that way, at least not for the moment. But later, we have to live a little bit, we have to get older, we have to have more experiences, and then we say, oh, did you ever remember, you know, I remember when I met my husband. I met my husband in my late 20s, and we used to go to the same places all the time, but yet we never bumped into each other. And my husband always said, you know, I really wish that I would have met you in my early 20s because we could have gotten married so much quicker and everything. And I just said, no, you weren't meant to meet me then because you were a different person and so was I. The timing is crucial to the success of the outcome. It was meant for me to meet my husband when I did because of all the experiences I had to go through to appreciate his loyalty, his kindness. Because I think if I would have met him a lot sooner without what I went through, I don't think I would have appreciated that then, don't you see? So everything is aligned with timing. So going back to rejection as God's way of protection, absolutely. Do not think that you're being punished. You are just being rerouted from something that we just can't see right now. But trust me, universe has our backs.
I love that the universe has our backs because I really believe when I catch myself starting to worry about something, because I think as a parent, we naturally sometimes worry about our kids, you know, or then our grandkids, or we worry about different things. And so every time I go into worry, I remind myself, this means that I'm not trusting the universe to have their back, just like I trust the universe to have my back. And then I think, okay, I got to stop. It's not helping any.
You're right, and that's the way you need to really start being aware of these things. That's why I brought in, you know, earlier, awareness is key to understanding things, and it will bring more peace if we look at our lives that way and we live our lives that way. So I do believe that. So I love that quote. It's my favorite quote. I use it all the time, and I do live by that quote. I do.
Yeah, well, I do too, because I do feel like I do know that it's not even a feeling, it's a knowing that the universe has our backs.
Yes, very much so. Very, very much so. But timing is very crucial to everything that happens in our lives. How we meet somebody, you know, the accident that we had, everything is time calculated. Everything. There is no mistakes. There is no coincidence. Everything that happens, it was exactly the way it was supposed to happen for numerous reasons. Numerous reasons.
Yeah, and then we just got to ask for the silver lining to help us see it.
Right. Right, exactly. That's very true. But the silver lining can be there if you choose to see it in a silver lining. If you're going to see it as a negative and you're going to live your life by a negative, your life will be negative.
Okay, so when we're looking at expectations, that we expect things or behaviors from others or expectations of self, do expectations help us or hurt us?
They can do both. I believe they do both. But we have to feel both of these feelings for our soul growth. We have to understand what the happiness is and the joys of that. We also have to understand the disappointments and how people can disappoint us. So I do think so. But I also think it helps educate us in how we're to see things. You know, I've had many people hurt me, but I refuse to stay bitter. Okay.
Right.
Trust, I don't trust people unless you earn it with me. That's the way I live my life. I don't trust, and then until you give me reason not to. I don't trust. I don't wear my heart on my sleeve. I am very aware and mindful of people and their actions, and I take it in. This is very important to me, and this is something that I really wish more people would do because they would save a lot of aggravation. You can be very kind. You can be very loving. I do a lot for people, but I'm one step up, and I do believe that, but it takes work to be aware. Don't ever get lazy with yourself in trusting. Trusting is a gift, and when I trust you, it's probably the highest gift I can ever give you. And I love the feeling of being able to trust. But I think that people give it away too loosely to the wrong people. So you need to be mindful of what you're letting in.
That's, you know, sometimes people will ask me, well, is this the right person for me? And and a part of me thinks, you know, my mind, I'll go back to the name to get the answer. But a part of me thinks if you need to ask, then the answer's no.
Exactly. Exactly. Because you should feel it. It's something that you're going to feel along with taking in people's actions. What are they doing? Like, for instance, you know what? If somebody is going to constantly gossip, they're going to gossip about you as soon as you hang up the phone with them. Don't ever think they're not going to gossip about you because they will. I expect that. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just the way it is. You know, when I see people's integrity, it's important to see if they have it or not. Okay, if a person's going to be positive in how they look, I look for people for inspiration. I really do. I love when somebody can just make me feel good, such as you, Sharon. I have somebody very dear to me, and I do. And, you know, she's a manager, you know, and she manages my whole office, and I just love her because she's always positive. She's always happy. She's always got my back. She's always doing unconditional things that are just so important. And it's because she wants to, not because it's tit for tat, okay? And that's another thing, because if people say, well, you did this for me, now I got to do it for you. If you have to think like that, don't bother. You should just do because you want to do. Let people do. Some people have a hard time expecting from other people nice things. But sometimes let them do that. You can do something at a later time for them, okay? But do that, because you take away sometimes people's joy and what they want to facilitate to you.
You know, that reminds me of a reading that I gave this past Monday. And here's a man in his early 60s, and he said, do I have to go to my dad's for Christmas this year? Now, it may seem like a silly question, but he doesn't want to disappoint his mom, and he can't stand his dad, and his dad's never been nice to him. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, how old do you have to get before you give yourself permission to say, no, I'm going to do what I choose to do and not what others expect me to do that I really don't want to do?
Absolutely. I love that you said that to him, because think about the burden that he has to carry, because he has to surround himself with somebody who makes him feel terrible. That's the whole point. You know, the holidays should be all about being close with the people that you truly love. And I understand family can be very difficult. I do get that. But when it comes to be a drudgery every holiday, and it takes away your joy, and you're hanging around people that take away your joy, then it's time to rethink the relationship.
You know, I know so many people that just need to hear what you just said. in my family.
Well, I think we all have it in our families. Believe me, I've got plenty in mine. So I'm with you. But I, you know, it because life is promised to no one. You know, I love the second thing I like is we make plans and God laughs. Well, it's true.
Right.
Because, you know, you're in charge of getting up at a certain time or setting your clock and being somewhere where you have to be and, you know, making a schedule of a client that you want. But overall, we are not in charge on a universal level to be making the kind of plans that we expect. Sometimes they happen and we can facilitate those, but then there's other times we can't. So it's about being present in the moment, allowing yourself to feel good.
I think some of it, too, is following your passion, because I just know that if I'm not passionate about what I'm doing, it's not going to get done, or it's not going to get done well.
Well, and you're right. It isn't just what you're doing. It's also the people you're surrounding yourself with. If you have to feel a drudgery, then think twice. Think twice. You know, I have somebody that I know, and, you know, she's retired, and she's very young, and, you know, she's done well for herself, inheritances and all that, and she said to me, I'm so bored. And I says, well, why don't you get a job? I don't want to work. I said, okay, well, why don't you go volunteer, something that brings passion? I don't want to do that. Well, then what are you complaining to me for? That made no sense to me. Then what do you want to do?
When my kids would tell me they were bored, I used to say to them, and I go, only boring people get bored.
Good one. I'm going to remember that one. That's a good one. I like that. But you know what I'm saying? There's something for everybody. There is something, okay? And you can do it. You just have to make the decision to want to be happy, or at least try to be happy. And that's what it is. So we go back to that word work, but I look at work as an expression of freedom, because work will give us the freedom to really evolve in what we need to be.
And I look at work as a way of being of service.
Very much so. You know, absolutely. Oh, God, yes. Hands down. It is a service to what you can do for others. It's true. It's very true. Absolutely. Absolutely. I can never, ever disagree on that. You're very right on the point on that one. Very true. So keep going with that.
How do we pick ourselves back up when what we thought we wanted doesn't manifest? And that has a tendency to get a lot of people down. Like, I really put effort into this and I really chose it and I didn't get it. Now, how do people pick themselves back up? I know how I do it. I go back to meditation. But how do you pick? Most people don't do that. So how do they pick themselves up and able to go forward and not feel the weight of disappointment?
Probably the way, I can only say the way I would do it is I just need to reroute. If I'm hitting the brick wall and it didn't manifest for me, I wasn't supposed to do it. But it doesn't mean to give up your dream on when you want to do it and how you want to do it. I still say you should always pursue it, but maybe do it in a different way. Maybe the timing wasn't on your side to do it. Okay. So that has a lot to do with it. So you almost have to really say to yourself, okay, just because I didn't get it doesn't mean I failed. Very important words, because people associate it as failure. It's almost like I get clients and I get people that really tried to save their mother or their father or their spouse, and they did everything in their power to keep them alive. And they'll call me for an appointment. They'll say, I says, why do I feel all this guilt? They say, oh, Susan, I have so much guilt. I just feel that there was something I missed. I'm like, no, because the ending still would have been the same. Because if it was meant for your father to still live, he'd still be here. You're trying to compete with God.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Exactly. It doesn't work. So it's the same thing. We are judging ourselves. So when we don't get something, we associate it as failure. It is not failure. You didn't fail. It either wasn't your time to receive it, or we need to reroute and go a different avenue.
You know, in a lot of classrooms, a lot of us teachers would put a poster up on the wall that said FAIL, F-A-I-L. Mm-hmm. And then we said what the letter stood for, and that stands for First Attempt in Learning. It's just an acronym.
I like that. That's a really good thing, because I think that needs to be more around children. Because when I see a child has a learning disability, they are reminded every day of what they can't do or what they struggle with. And I myself, because I've had a child with learning disabilities, I constantly surrounded her with things she did well, because then when she didn't do something well, she had the courage to keep going. When you're reminded every minute of something that you can't do, how do you think that's going to make you feel? So we have to shift it. So I love what you just said. More children need to be reminded of that every day, of the great qualities and what they can do, because it's going to make the things that they can't do much more bearable with much more strength, and they'll be able to do that.
Well, and I look at it, too. Not all of us can do all of it. And so that's what makes the economy go around, because we pay people to do what we can't, what we don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? True. And if we all could do it all, then we wouldn't have to pay anybody to do anything, and then there'd be no economy.
Right. That's very true, too. My husband always said, utilize the people of the things that you can't do, because they will come to help you.
Yes, and then they get paid for their joy job, and you get to have joy because you didn't have to do it.
That's right, because you know you're not good at it. And you know what? We have to remind ourselves that we are not going to do everything right. We are not perfect. You know, we're not. Here's the thing I always say. To understand your weakness is your strength.
Yes, to know what not to spend, waste time at. And we've got to take a break right there.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about how to make the best of every experience that we have so that we create the best experiences possible. Stay tuned.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
Mark Twain said the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. The why is hidden in your name. Sharon Lynn Wyeth has created a scientific way of deciphering your name to reveal your contract for this lifetime. And your name even specifies the seven areas that are subsets of your soul's overall goal. Your name identifies who you are to both yourself and others. What does your name say about you? Contact Sharon Lynn Wyeth at info@knowthename.com for your stunning name review.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Luminescence, Common Sense, Spirituality. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and our special guest today is Susan Rowland. And her website is her name, it's Susan, and then the last name is Rowlen, so SusanRowland.com. And Susan, remind me to say that again, because everybody always needs to hear it a few times. You know, my mom used to, every time us kids messed up, and I had four sisters, so every time us kids would mess up on something, my mom would look at us and go, well, there's another opportunity for growth. You know, like another time, you can make more out of this. So my question to you is, how do we make the best of each experience that we're having?
You know, it's a good, that's a great question, because I always say, think of the good thing about it and the thing that wasn't so good about it, because how are you going to apply it to future experiences? Think about that, because every experience we encounter, whether it's good or bad, it's grooming us and conditioning us for the next batch of experiences. So, you know, try to stay in a more positive light, but try to stay in a learning light. Because I always say this is school here, okay? We are experiencing what we do and we feel because we are really trying to elevate our soul. So that is foremost, to be positive as often as you can. Look, we're human. We cry. We get angry. We want to kick things, kick people, whatever. We're there. That's a human thing. But you don't stay in it. This is very important. If you, you know, I remember, you know, my mother didn't like my father's relatives, okay? And I remember every time we had to go to a wedding, my mother would say, oh, God, I dread having to see them all. Oh, my mother would harp on it for a month. And here's my father. He would say, you go for 3-4 hours, you eat, you make the best of it, that's it. Loved my father's attitude, okay? He had the greatest attitude. He didn't put any negativity on any of it, and he breezed through life that way. Now, that to me constitutes an old soul. My father was the epitome of an old soul. He wasn't a fighter. He looked at everything. The glass was never half full. It was overflowing. He taught me that. And that's kind of how you have to look at it. So take every experience, good and bad, with grace. And how you are going to apply it in the future with other experiences, because this is what this all is.
So it's really, what part of this experience do we want to keep and repeat again, and what part are we going to do differently next time?
Exactly, because we have the power to edit our minds. Okay, I say this all the time. We choose what we want to hang on to, what we want to dismiss, what we want to shut down. We have the power to do that. I say, take it all, see it for its truth, see what you did wrong, how you could have maybe done it better or differently, and move on. Don't hang on to it. That's where people make the mistake.
I want to interrupt our train of thought for just a moment, and that is, when people call you for a reading, Susan, how long is your waiting list right now?
Well, you know, it's interesting. For in-person, it's till through April. I'm taking for in-persons in April now. But my phone sessions are pretty good. They fill up fast, I'm not going to lie. And I do Zoom. So in the comment box, if you make a phone session, if you want a Zoom session, just put Zoom session preferred. And I will send you a link to Zoom, and you will just accept and download, and we will be good to go. I do all my sessions, whether it's an in-person, whatever, central time. Okay, that'll help you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Because I know that sometimes people have called me and said, well, I can't get in any decent amount of time, so I always think, so sign up today so you can get in when you can, and then the timing will be perfect.
They do, but I also do a lot of workshops and a lot of webinars, and you can look at the Facebook page, and it's got all the events that I do, and those are really good, too. So, they do go fast. They just do. And because I think the times that we're in, you know, people have gotten very acclimated to staying home and not going into a car and going to an event like it used to be years ago. We get to do it in the privacy of our homes now. So I think people are really planning more of those than anything else. And, just things have changed so much. But, yeah, you know, phone sessions, you can still get in. That's not a problem.
Okay, good. I mean, I know that the last two times one of my good friends called me, I said, I literally put my Zoom on silent, and I said, I'm on a Zoom call. This is when I'm done. Can I call you back? Uh-huh. And when I finally got to talk with her, I thought, you know what, I am just Zoomed out. There's too many Zoom calls.
Well, you know what? You're right on that, because I don't think people realize what you and I do is so much energy because when you are dealing with an individual, you are getting all of their energy. Now, if you're doing this between 16 and 23 times a day, do you have any idea by the time 9 or 10 o'clock rolls around? You don't want to say anything to anybody. It's not that you're trying to be rude. That person just has to realize your schedule. And you know what? If you're talking for 14 hours straight, you know, there are nights when I don't have a voice left. You know, and you're not trying to be rude, but you just, you're right. And that's okay to be that way. It really is. So, but, you know, I don't know. I it's interesting because I think that people now are getting educated even with technology and with Zoom. And they used to think, oh, you know, your gift can't work through Zoom. Well, I tell people, energy comes through in every way, in all ways. That's
well,
not
going to
stop
that
anybody getting the messages and for you doing a good job with them. You're going to do a good job with them.
That God is not limited by where my body is located. That's
well,
how
yeah,
I like it.
It's true. You could be lying on a beach. You could be, you know, you could be on an airplane. I can't tell you how many times I'm flying and I get these direct messages. I'm like, whoa, okay. So, you know, you could get them anywhere. And people need to be understanding of that. I think it's their approach to thinking it won't do well. And if you have that approach, then you won't. But if you're open to it, you're going to be pleasantly surprised of how well it does, you know, people can do this. So that I did want to add to that. Yeah.
Well, and I actually prefer over the phone calls when I'm doing a name reading because I'm not distracted by their physicalness.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I can see that because you are just, boom, you're focusing on what you need to focus. I like that. You know what? I never thought of it, but you're right. That's a great way to say that. It works,
you know,
doesn't it? Yeah.
And I don't feel badly that I keep staring at the name that I've got written down in my notes instead of looking at them as much as they'd probably like to be looked at for that interchange because I'm going through the patterns in their name.
Interesting.
You know, so that's where my focus is. So,
You know, what you do is just, it's unbelievable what you do. The gift that you have, because I've had so many people that have contacted me and they are in love with you because of what you do, but I truly believe what you do is a gift. You're right on point because the name is everything, and you taught me so much about that. But I do believe the power in one's name and the energy it facilitates. But I have to tell you, there are so many people that just can't get enough of reading your books, have had the, you know, phone sessions with you. No, I'm serious, because I've sent people to you, and they've all come back. They go, Susan, she is something. I go, she is. She is definitely a gift, and she has a talent for this, and it's a big talent. And nobody can really duplicate what you do, and I think that's what I love about it the most. I love what you do, because this is all Sharon. So yeah, there you go.
Well, thank you. I've got some students, though, that have studied with me. It seems to take them 3 years, and then they're able to pull out all the information that I can pull out. It seems to take them 3 years with practice.
Well, here's the thing, though, that I am going to say, and I believe that, but they're still not you because of how you look at this world and this earth and the spirituality that comes with it.
Well, and I was just going to say, the ones that I've taught that do the best are highly spiritual, or they've been massage therapists and working with people a long time. You know, they're already in tune in that direction. It's not
exactly.
Just, you know, it's
yeah,
not just
you
the
have
fact
that.
That you feel it.
You have that, and you know, you're not just telling them the meaning of their name, but you're also telling them there's so much more in life. So there is a lot above average psychic intuition that you're pulling out. So, it starts with the name, but with you, it's everything else that you are able to see. And firsthand, I know this about you, and I just love it. So it's a great talent. It's a great gift, and many people would benefit from this. I believe that. And you always have a way of making people smile and feeling better than when they came in. And that's what everybody needs to strive for, helping them feel better and changing things where they are a different person from when they came in to leaving. And you do that. So, I you know, that's why I like to be with people, like-minded people. This is also something I need to bring up really quick. If you could start being mindful of who you are and start cultivating people such as yourself, It doesn't have to be exactly, but that is also going to give you a lot of food for thought every day. And that also strengthens your skills because you're around people and you're just feeding off each other. You know, there's a saying, my favorite flower is a sunflower. But when there's no sun, do you know how they get sun? They face each other.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And they face each other to get each other's sunlight. So being together with like-minded people, we will feed off of each other in such a beautiful way. So that's how I see you.
Thank you. You did the best commercial for me that anybody could ask for.
Well, it's all true. I mean,
I love it when people get readings with you because I always hear back it really positive things also. You have such a gift and such a talent. Okay, so we're coming to the close of our show. I do want to say that what next week is, we're going to talk about energy healing and the power of prayer. And our guest will be Susan Klopstein. And so that's next week when you want to tune in again. And again, if you'd like a reading with Susan Rowland, her website is her name. And Susan is spelt the normal way, and her last name is R-O-W-L-E-N. And then just put a .com behind it, and you've got it. And I always say for Susan and for when Sandy's on, they book up so far in the future to make sure that you call now and then it'll show up at exactly the time that you think, oh man, the divine had my back and it's perfect timing, you know. So I always think if you're thinking about it, sign up and so that it can come around sooner than later. Anyway, Susan, thank you again for joining us. Always my pleasure. And for everybody that's listening, thank you for taking your time to listen and to join us and have some positive energy. And I'm going to say this whole month, happy holidays, because it really is a time to celebrate that simply we have life and that we wake up in the morning and we're breathing. So happy holidays. And this is Sharon Lynn Wyeth signing off.
Gazing in the mirror, an image of an angel smiling back at her. No wounds or imperfections, just beauty and its glow. Her laughter and her heart, a reflection of her soul. Of her, the light slightly dimmed, her reflection unseen.